We have a good attendance again this morning, as we have in every service of meeting. Appreciate your being here, and I hope that our coming together will be a blessing to us all. I appreciated the things that Brother Powers said, and he reflected the thoughts of many of us who are visiting here. We have some of our grandchildren with us too, and we appreciate the hospitality that you've extended them. I was a little surprised yesterday to learn that so many people knew they were here, but they didn't know that they were our grandchildren. And I probably failed some way because I really wanted you to know that. If you have an opportunity to visit in the Baytown area, I want to tell you that you'll be received there with as much hospitality as you have extended these people. Their friendship is genuine, and you'll be treated royally. And if you have an opportunity to visit in that area anytime, feel free to go there, and you'll find those of like precious faith, and you'll feel at home just as much as you've tried to make these people feel at home here. I think Adrian and Naomi and Cheryl and W are going to have to leave and go back home, and we're going to miss them. But again, allow me to say to these visiting brethren who have come, you don't know how much you have contributed to the meeting and how much good it has done for the meeting for you to be here and be a part of these services each time. As we had announced, we want to talk for a little while this morning concerning some of the responsibilities of women in the home. Tomorrow morning, we want to talk about the responsibilities of children in the home. We'd like for all of our young people who can to be present then. And then Friday morning, the subject will be why marriage has failed. And maybe this would apply more to young families. But I think it's information that we all need to have at hand. And remember that I have continually said that these studies are not to try to abuse and to badmouth and chastise people for things that we've left undone, but rather things to teach and to admonish and to encourage us all. One sister said to me this morning, I didn't feel like I needed this lesson, but I came anyway. But I said, you'll be a real influence to the others who are here that need it, so I'm glad that all of you are here. And as we talk about these things, I want you to remember that they're given in an attitude of love and concern for Christian women and for our Christian homes, because they are certainly the foundation of everything that you and I stand for. I want to tell you in the beginning this morning how I feel about women. I believe there is nothing more beautiful, nothing that signifies to you and me the symbol of purity, more than a well-groomed and a modestly dressed woman. That's my sentiment. And I believe that's the sentiment of every Christian husband and father in this assembly this morning. You know, they signify to us an example and a symbol that you don't find anywhere else. And when I see the actions of some of the women in the world, it's sickening and disheartening to me because they have not taken their place and filled their role as these role models in the home as I think they ought to be. And I would say to the young ladies in this assembly this morning, and I may talk more about this tomorrow when I talk about children in the home, and by the way, when I use this subject tomorrow morning, I'm going to talk to our children about some of the things that they can expect in the home. Not just what's expected of them, but I'm going to talk to them about some of the things that they can expect. So if you find them putting pressure on you, don't blame them, blame me, because I'm going to talk to them about some of the things that they can expect. But as I talk to you today about the responsibilities of women in the home, I want you young ladies to remember some of the principles that I talk about, and you began early in your life, and you take your place, and you fill your responsibilities, and I'll tell you today that you're going to impress the young men more when you have humbled yourself to take your position in the home as a Christian young lady than you will trying to fill the role model of a popular lady out in the world. And the young men today, Christian young men, who are looking for companionship for the rest of their life, are not interested in all of the things that the young ladies of the world have to offer, but they're interested in the very principles that I have just mentioned to you.
a symbol of purity and of motherhood that they can be proud of. And when I see these well-groomed, modestly attired women mother our children, I think it's one of the most beautiful sights that there is in the world. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, open please to Ephesians, the 5th chapter. We're going to do some reading this morning, and if you'd like to follow the reading, I want to read some of the things the Bible has said about women. And I'd like to begin in verse 22 of Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, if you're looking for things that you need to do as a woman in the home, here's one of the things as a wife. You need to submit yourself unto your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, and he is Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Just as I mentioned yesterday morning to the men, if you do not want to take your place in the home as the head of the family, you don't need to establish a home. And the same thing is true with ladies this morning. If you don't want to take your position in submission to a husband in that home, you don't need to establish a home, because that's where you belong. And that's what God will expect of you. And don't forget that I made the statement that there's a difference in being in subjection to your husband and being a slave to your husband. And husbands this morning, there's a difference in being the head of the house and being a slave driver. And we'll talk about that a little more as we continue. What does it mean to submit? It simply means to set oneself under. And that's the position that women should occupy in a Christian home. And in verse number 24, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. You know, the Lord taught humility throughout all of his life. And as he is to the church, so should husbands be to their wives. And as the church is to the Lord, so should wives be to their husbands. So if you just stop for a minute and think about our responsibilities as Christians to the Lord, it will help you understand your responsibility as a wife and a home. Now read on down in verse 33, the last verse of this chapter. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. That's an interesting passage, isn't it? I think one of the best things about this passage is that it treats both the husband and the wife. Let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as he loved himself. Let me ask you fellows this morning, and especially some of you who were not here yesterday morning, do you love your wife like you love your own self? If we do, we would treat her like we treat ourselves, you see. The Bible teaches us that no man has ever hated his own flesh. And we're going to be pretty good to ourselves, aren't we? And if we love our wives as we love ourselves, we're going to be pretty good to them too. Now, if you'd like to open your Bible to 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, and I want to read to you what Paul said about love. Let's begin then with that verse 4. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Charity, or love, suffereth long, and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Here is one of the things that we need in Christian homes, perhaps more than anything else. Remember, Paul said in Hebrews 10, verse number 24, let us consider one another and provoke unto love and good works. Consideration for one another, husbands for wives, wives for husbands. He said, let's consider one another. And you know what will happen here? This will provoke unto love and good works. If we fail to consider our companions, we're likely not going to love them as we ought to. But they certainly need our consideration, not only husband for wives and wives for husbands, but parents for children and children for parents. And we'll discuss this a little more later. Let me read you these same verses from another translation. What is love? Love is very patient and kind. Never jealous or envious, never boastful or proud. Husbands, is that the way we love? Wives, is that the way you love? Love is never haughty or selfish or rude. Husbands, are you ever rude to your wives? Kind of a personal question, isn't it? You give it a personal answer. Wives, are you ever rude to your husbands? Love is never selfish or rude. Love does not demand its own way. You know, I go into homes where either husbands or wives think they have to have their way in everything. That's not love. Remember when we got married that people told us that it was going to be a give and take proposition? That's the way it works. And that's what love allows to happen. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable or touchy. It does not hold grudges and will hardly even notice when others do it wrong. That's some kind of love, isn't it? It is never glad about injustice, but rejoices whenever truth wins out. If you love someone, you will be loyal to them no matter what the cost. You will always believe in them, always expect the best of them, and always stand your ground in defending them. That's true love. And that's what Paul teaches us that we need in our homes. So not only are the husbands to love their wives, but the wives are to love their husbands. And Paul said, see that she reverence her husband. And that word reverence there does not mean to worship, but simply that she respect. And we're going to talk about that a little more from 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter. Let's turn now just a little further over to the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse number 18. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husband as it is fit in the Lord. I want you to remember, Christian women today, that there could be demands made of you that you are not responsible to fulfill. But only if they are not fit in the Lord. Fit means that which is becoming. Now, if your husband would make a demand of you that would cause you to say or do things that is not becoming to the Lord or Christianity, I don't believe that you're required to fulfill that demand. I don't believe the Lord requires it of you. We have a situation in our family. I'm not going to call any names. But there arose a problem in their marriage. And I kept saying to this wife and mother, you've got to work it out, you've got to work it out. Because they had one daughter. And if for no other reason, you need to work it out for the child's sake. And when I see these broken homes, I still think the children are the ones who suffer most. I said, you can put up with a lot of things, you can endure a lot. You made vows, you made promises, you've got to work it out, you've got to work it out. And time after time after time, I went over this with her, and they stayed together. Until one day, she came up with a black eye and a busted lip. And I said, you don't have to put up with that. It's surprising how quick we can change our minds, isn't it? I said, you've got to put up with it. You've got to put... I didn't realize this kind of abuse was going on. And I'll just tell you, fellas, this morning, if you're treating your wives that way, they don't have to put up with that. And fellas, don't make demands of your wives that they are not responsible to keep. But you know, wives, we made promises early, didn't we? We made vows. Remember, it's better to make a vow, rather not to make a vow than to make one and not keep it. And I hope that all of us can understand that those promises were made for life, and we need to take our positions, take our place. Fellas, don't make demands of your wives that they can't keep, but wives, submit yourselves to your husbands and make a home for your husband and for your children. 1 Peter 3, let's turn over there and read for a little while. 1 Peter 3, let's begin reading with verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair, the wearing of gold, or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. I called Stella's attention to this passage in verse 6 one time, and I said, Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. I thought that was cute. She reminded me that if we had more Abrahams, we'd probably have more Sarahs. Now, fellas, you think about that. If you think your wife is not toward you like you ought to be, you might ought to think about your actions toward her. And it's probably true that if we had more Abrahams, we would have more Sarahs. But notice the things here that are of most importance. It isn't the outward adorning. Now, I think there are a lot of things that women can do that make them look nice. And they appeal to the fellas, whether they're young, unmarried ladies or ladies who are married who appeal to their husbands. And sometimes when I talk with people who have problems, I mention some of these things. You know, there are some things that we did very early on that caused our husbands or wives to be attracted to us for some reason. You know, there are some things that we fellas did that would please the ladies and cause them to like us. And you know, the more things we could think of to do that would please them, the more we did. We talked about some of these yesterday morning, and some of these old men got out there and opened the door for their wives when they got in the car to leave yesterday morning. I talked about this at one place, and after church was over, there was a fellow out there opening the doors for the ladies. He didn't just stop with his wife, but he was opening the door for everybody around. And I said, hey, you could get yourself in a lot of trouble. Don't go overboard on this thing. But you know, wives, you can be the same way toward your husband. What did you used to do to provoke their love and their appreciation for you? And if you feel like that their love has faded in some way, maybe you need to start all over and do some of those things again. Maybe you need to fix yourself up a little. Now, that's not the most important thing, and Peter treated that. He said it's not the plaiting of the hair, the wearing of gold, or the putting on of apparel. But really, what makes the women pretty for those of us fellas is that hidden person of the heart, the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Remember the old adage, pretty is as pretty does. And I think it's just as true today as it's ever been. And you know, that's what makes a Christian woman beautiful, is the life that she lives, the characteristics that she possesses, the humility that she submits herself to, and the reverence that she gives to her family and the way that she serves them. And that'll just make a beautiful woman every time, regardless of who she is. Subjection should be willingly and habitual. To behold a chaste conversation is to give close attention. Conversation is manner of life. You need to pay a particular attention to your manner of life and the way you live, your behavior. Chaste means to be modest. And we could get into a real discussion today about modesty, and we might discuss that a little more tomorrow. Meek simply means not easily provoked, easygoing.
Sometimes I hear fellas say, you know, my wife just is high-tempered as a rattlesnake. Well, that's opposed to what we are taught in the Scripture that a Christian woman should be. But I also find some men that are pretty quick on the trigger, too. And that is opposed to principles of Christianity for a Christian husband and father. The ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. Quiet simply means mild or gentle or peaceful or tranquil. That's the kind of attitude and that's the kind of disposition that you ought to have. Turn to Titus 2, verses 3 through 5. Let's read a little more. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as become of holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach their young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Now, to the older women who are here today, I hope that you are actively involved in teaching the younger women about good things. I hope that you teach them to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Remember, we said yesterday morning, homes are not made by instinct like the birds build their nests. But we build homes through teaching and training and by example from those who are before us. And young women need to be taught to love their husbands. And some of you older women with a lot of experience, I think, would be the very person to do that. And to love their children. It seems unfortunate that in this generation there are mothers who do not love their children. I doubt if we have Christian mothers that are that way. I certainly hope we don't. But there are a lot of people in the world that do not love their children. I don't know if you noticed on the news just a few days ago. I haven't seen any news lately, but if we came by home, we watched the news one evening. And the newborn baby was found in a dumpster here in Oklahoma City, just a few hours old. I don't believe that mother loved her child, do you? And I don't know, maybe it's even worse when they grow older and mothers do not treat their children as they ought. Young women need to be taught this. Not false accuser, since to be simply means not to be slanderous. Teachers of good things, which means your demeanor, your manner of life, and your words and your conversation. To teach the young women means to train, to influence, to persuade, to encourage, to counsel, to discipline, to school, to curb, to correct, to control. Teach them to be moderate. You know, I'm surprised sometimes when we get involved in talking about the women's role in teaching. You know, just because the Lord did not permit them to be public teachers of the Word of God doesn't mean that there isn't any teaching for them to be done. I visited in a home in Dumas, Texas one time while in a meeting, and as we visited with a couple there, this lady said, I can't believe that some arrangement should not be made for me to exercise my God-given ability to teach the Word of God. We were sitting in a very beautiful home. I said, I don't know what better arrangement that God could have allowed you to have than the one you have. Why do we think we have to have 35, 50, or 100 people together before we can teach anybody? You know, Jesus very often taught one person. The woman at the well. Nicodemus, in the secrecy of night, taught him the lesson of new birth, which has lived to serve as a teacher for every one of us since we have the word of inspiration, delivered initially to one person. And I don't believe there's any better way of teaching with anyone. And let me tell you, ladies, today, one-on-one is one of the very best ways that you have to teach. You know, in 1 Timothy 2, 11 and 12, the apostle said, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor do you serve authority over the man, but to be in silence. Women are not to be teachers of the word in a public and formal capacity. The Bible has been very plain about that. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 34, and the following verses. He teaches why it's a shame for women to speak in the church. But he went on to say that Adam was not deceived, but Eve was deceived. She was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, they shall be saved if they continue in faith and holiness with sobriety. Now, you know, a woman's influence in the church is felt through her children. And I'll just tell you today that our Christian women are the hope, not only of our homes, but of our churches and of our nation. That's the way I feel about the women.
And you know, this was the way that Timothy had been influenced through his grandmother and his mother. And the great faith that he had, Paul said, which I am persuaded is in you also. Where did it come from?
It came from a Christian mother and a Christian grandmother. Just like the faith of many of us has come today. How many women apostles do you read about? How many women elders do you know about? How many women deacons do you know about? How many women evangelists have you read about in the Scripture?
See, that was not her role. That was not her place.
But still, I'm here to tell you today that she probably influences the church as much or more than anybody else. If she has really taken her place and filled her responsibility as a Christian mother. And I hope that every one of you will do that, and especially the young mothers who are here today. I suggested yesterday that I would talk a little about women working outside the home. I'm not opposed to that. If you can take care of your home life and your home responsibilities. And we mentioned yesterday that you fellows need to be providers for the home, and the best situation is that so that women don't have to work outside the home. And then that solves a lot of problems we mentioned, like the problem of unemployment and so on. But I understand that our environment and our economy is much different today than it's been in the past. And I know sometimes that two incomes perhaps are necessary to support and to sustain a family. But never should that be done and the duties of the home go unattended and neglected. Because if you do, you'll live and die to regret. And as I so often said, just let a word to the wise be sufficient. You'll live and you'll die to regret it if you neglect those responsibilities. Now the reason I say that I cannot tell you that it's wrong for a woman to work outside of the home is because we have some examples in the Scriptures of women who did work. Lydia, for an example, was a seller of purple in the city of Thyatira and one that worshipped God. Evidently, while she was doing that, she had her business. And you know, I read that case of conversion up several times before it ever dawned on me that Lydia was away from home. She was away from home when all of this was taking place. There are a lot of people, when they get away from home, what do we call them, 50-mile Christians or something? Get about 50 miles away from home, they forget about the church and everything that goes with it. Lydia was not that way. When I think about women working away from home, I think about Priscilla, who worked with her husband Aquila in tent making. Evidently, she was actively involved. Nothing wrong with that. And you wives who are actively involved in business with your husbands, I don't think the Lord frowns on that if you have not neglected your responsibility as a Christian wife and mother. I think we have a problem in this generation with career women, because I think those are the ones who have a tendency to neglect the responsibilities as a wife and as a mother. And as a result, many homes have been broken and they fell apart simply because those duties were not taken care of. When I read from Proverbs, the 31st chapter, about a virtuous woman, I read about a woman who bought a field, who planted a vineyard. I read about a woman who sold linen. And I'm not going to tell you that you can't do that. But I am going to tell you the best scenario is as originally set up for the Lord, for the husband to be the provider and the wife, the homemaker, and the executive in the home. Now, wives, let me reiterate what I said yesterday morning. You let your husband take his place in the home. But let me tell you, fellas, this morning, you let your wife take her place. As the person who guides the house, as the executive in the home. And you'll find that the relationship between husband and wife is going to be a lot better. Wives, don't be beggars. Do you ever nag your husband? Sometimes fellow says, I tell you what, my wife stays on me all the time. I guess mine does too, and I love every minute of it. There's a difference. I grew up with a young man who, when others of us were obeying the gospel, wanted to obey the gospel, and in a gospel meeting one night, he made the confession and was going to be baptized, but you know, before he got to the baptistry, his mother got to him, and she said, son, what in the world are you doing? Said, you're too young, you don't understand, you don't know what you're doing, you can't obey from the heart, and she talked him out of being baptized. But I had noted that in that same home, that woman continually was on her husband. He served as an elder of the church. And she said, I don't know why you're supposed to be an elder. You can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, you can't do that. She said, you don't even have your wife in subjection. And I had a tendency to agree with her. I don't believe he did. We don't have any ladies here like that today, do we? That man is about my age, her son. Twin girls came to bless their home. They later fought in divorce courts over those girls. And to my knowledge, until this day, the young man has never obeyed the gospel. Never. You Christian women, think about that. But you know, there's another side to this story. We always hear about nagging women. But did you know, fellas, that we could be just as bad to nag our wives as our wives could be to nag us? You always stay on them? Are you always on their back? Are you always telling them about the things that they do that does not please you? Do you ever compliment the things they do that pleases you well? Remember the lady we talked about yesterday morning? But I think it all goes back to that subject of Paul in 1 Corinthians 13. If we really love one another, you know, love can overlook a lot of things. Or it can stimulate a lot of things. And I just hope, as husbands and wives and fathers and mothers today, that we have that kind of love for each other. I haven't told you anything this morning that you didn't already know. I haven't told you anything this week you didn't know. But I mentioned to some of the brethren here that, you know, we teach our children to count by saying 1, 2, 3, 4, just over and over and over again. And most of them watch Sesame Street or something, and before they're much more than able to talk, they can count from 1 to 100, and they can say their ABCs. You know why? Because of familiarity and repetition. And did you know that the more we read and talk about passages, just like we talk today, the more familiar we become with them, and then what happens? They just simply become a part of our lives. They're not a problem to us at all. And I have very often said that I believe that the kingdom of God is simply a way of living. And I think it is in part because when we obey the gospel and we become a part of the kingdom of God, it's a way of life with us, isn't it? And we just began to incorporate these things in our lives, and then we don't think about them as something that we have to do. We don't think about it as duty anymore, do we? We think about it as simply a part of our lives and an opportunity that we have to serve in the church and in the home and to our family. And let me repeat just one more time the great need of Christian homes and considerate families to provide leadership for the church of the future. Too often I see young men and women that get their lives messed up very early, and they're never really able to perform nor to be qualified as they really ought to be. But if you accept these admonitions today, and in your home you have the kind of relationship that you ought to have with one another, and you're the kind of influence you ought to be to your children, the first thing you know, you've reared a family that the whole community is proud of. You become an influence that has affected the world, and you become people who can be leadership of the churches and congregations of the body of Christ tomorrow. That's why you and I need to take our place in the home. And it's going to be a real privilege for me to talk to our young people tomorrow, and I hope as many of the children can be here as is possible. We never know the minds of people. There may be someone here today that is subject to the invitation. If you're here, a young lady, and you've never obeyed the gospel, that's the place for you to start. And you ought to do that this morning. If you're here, a young man, and you've never obeyed the gospel, you need to do that now. If you're here, you've been a Christian, but you haven't accepted and assumed and fulfilled your responsibilities, and in a way that has brought shame and reproach upon the church, maybe you ought just to confess before the church that you've sinned. We count it a privilege to pray with you. But today, as we're all reminded, and we may say, well, you know, I don't believe I've really been coming up to par on some of these things. Those probably are not things that ought to be confessed before the world. Maybe these are things that are between you and your companion, and things that are between you and your God. Talk it out. You know, one of the greatest hindrances in homes today is the lack of communication. Talk it out. And talk to God. Things will be better tomorrow. But if you're here and you're subject to the invitation, this song has been selected. We stand to sing.